now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, hello and welcome to the show today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us as once again we open up God's Word and seek to discover its truths together. You know, a famous evangelist once shared a story. He said he had a friend who, in a time of business recession, lost his job, a very sizable fortune, and even his beautiful home. And to add to his sorrow, his precious wife died. And yet, he tenaciously held on to his faith, the only thing he had left. And one day, when he was out walking in search of employment, he stopped to watch some men who were doing stonework on a large church. And one of them was chiseling a triangular piece of rock. "Where are you going to put that?" he asked. And the workman said, "Do you see that little opening up there near the spire? Well, I'm shaping this stone down here so that it will fit in up there." And tears filled this friend's eyes as he walked away, because the Lord had spoken to him through that laborer whose words gave new meaning to his troubled situation. Now, you'll remember that last week we began looking at the opening chapter of what is perhaps the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job. And Job was a righteous man before God who, despite his righteousness, he suffered tremendously. He lost his wealth, he lost his kids, he lost his standing in his community, as wave upon wave of disaster just crashed upon his life. And today we're going to continue to look at this chapter to seek to understand the meaning of suffering, but also to answer the question, where is God during our times of suffering? And we'll open today by looking at verses 6 through 12 of Job chapter 1. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord," meaning, of course, the angels, "and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?' Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Now, this passage is a little bit unsettling because it reveals to us that even though Job was in deep, deep favor with God, he was still open to temptation and trials and sufferings. He was one that could not be topped. God had said of him, "There is none like him on the earth." Now, in our book, that ought to mean that Job ought to be the least likely person on earth to suffer. And that's what his friends, who later come to comfort him, thought. If you can call it comfort. They didn't really offer him much comfort. But you can understand their way of thinking. Just look at the book of Proverbs. I mean, if you were to read Proverbs by itself, you would think that the righteous always prosper and the wicked always fall into ruin. And in a spiritual sense, that is the case, but not always in the physical realm. as the writer of Ecclesiastes came to understand when he saw that often the wicked would prosper and the righteous would suffer. And so the question comes down to, is God just? And that's the question that the author of the book of Job seeks to grapple with. And what the writer of Job helps us to discover is that it doesn't matter how much God loves you, or how much you love God, or how righteous you are, we are all equally open to suffering. We are all open to contracting diseases. We're all open to losing children, to horrific accidents. And we look at Job's life, and there was not a single area in which his life was not touched. And we saw last week, every one of his sons died. All his daughters also were killed. His wealth, his livestock, everything was just ripped out of his hands. And after this, even his health is taken away. He's inflicted with boils and sores to the point where Job's wife even tells him to curse God and die. It says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. How much can we lose and still bless God? How far can we fall and still hold fast to our integrity? And when you and I go through trials, or maybe when we see loved ones go through trials that we don't think are deserved, our hearts cry out to God to give us an answer to that pain. We want God to tell us why, to justify himself for why he has allowed that pain and suffering. Why does God allow his loved ones to get cancer? My dad's battling two forms of cancer. Why does he allow people to get into car accidents, to suffer the loss of a child, or whatever it might be? I think we all find ourselves asking those questions from time to time. And that's exactly what Job calls on God to give him, an answer, a reason for his suffering. But what is God's response? Does he tell Job about this whole dialogue going on between him and Satan? Does he even reveal to Job that he's being tested for a purpose? No. There is no evidence for that anywhere in the book. God answers Job, not with an explanation for why Job is suffering, but with a reminder of God's surpassing greatness as the author and creator of the universe, and the one who holds everything in perfect order. He proclaims to Job just how great the works of his hands are, just how in control he is of all areas of creation, from ages past to present. And God shows just how small Job's knowledge and his understanding is in comparison to God's. And think what God is subtly saying to Job. He's saying, if I'm in control of all these things, I am also in control over your circumstances as well. I am worthy to have you, even in suffering, to continue placing your faith in me. And the essence of the kind of faith that God is calling Job and us to have lies in the ability to accept that we may not know the backstory. We may not know the whys concerning the circumstances we're going through. The only thing that Job and us are given is an understanding that God is good, that he is in control, and Romans 8:28, which we see in the New Testament, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Faith involves our accepting those circumstances that God has placed us in and trusting in his goodness, trusting that he is in control of our lives. knowing that God is using even our darkest hours for His glory. You know, Billy Coppedge, a friend of ours, he once told a story about his mother, Beth. Beth and her husband, Al, had just recently gotten married. And right away, within 6 weeks, they turned around and left for Colombia as missionaries. They had to do a year of language school learning Spanish. Beth had never been out of the country before. One time she had been to Niagara Falls, but that was as far as she had been in terms of international travel. And so you can imagine, Costa Rica for language school, and then Colombia. I mean, it was quite a culture shock. And not only that, but she was recently married, just 6 weeks. And so all these things were coming together. And it was just overwhelming for her. Very difficult. And shortly after they were there, they got pregnant with their oldest child, Katie Beth. Beth had Katie Beth, and fortunately, the Lord was gracious. There weren't any complications. But Beth found herself with a new baby, and then she got sick with dysentery and just could not get rid of it. Just couldn't be healed of it. And so, overwhelmed by culture shock, being in a new marriage, now the new baby, struggling physically as well, she was completely overwhelmed. She bottomed out. Her brother got married. Somebody paid for her and Al to fly home for the wedding, and it was a very special time. Their daughter Katie got to have her first birthday home, that kind of thing. Everyone was glad to have the folks home. And they got ready to go back. And Beth again got plagued by dysentery. And then, on top of that, she found out she was pregnant with her next child. She was too weak to fly, and so her husband, Al, ended up having to go on to Colombia. Beth had to stay back just until she had the strength to fly, being pregnant and also having another child who is just 1 year old. Now, she finally got the medicine and the attention she needed and finally got better and found herself in the Miami airport. But in telling the story, she said she got to the point where she said, "Jesus, I cannot get on that plane. It is too hard. It is just too hard." She said, "Jesus, I love you. You know I love Al, but I am going to go home. I've got to go home. I cannot get on that plane. It is too difficult." But she made the mistake of calling her mom. And her mom asked, "Well, Bethy, what are you doing?" And they called Beth's mother Goose, after Mother Goose. And they eventually got to the point where even Beth called her Goose. And so Beth said, "Goosey, I cannot go. I cannot go." She said, "It's too hard. I'm coming home." And Goosey said, "Well, Bethy, you have to go. You have to obey Jesus." And Beth said, "If I go, I will die." And over the phone, she heard her mother say, "Then, Bethy, go and die. You cannot disobey Jesus." You see, obedience and trust in Jesus, even when we feel like we've come to the end of ourselves, is the kind of faith that God wants to produce in each and every one of us. You know, one of my favorite books of all time is The Screwtape Letters. In it, a demon writes to his pupil demon about the danger of a Christian who completely trusts in God. He says, "Be not deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in jeopardy than when a human, no longer desiring, but still intending to do our enemy's will, looks round upon a universe in which every trace of him seems to have vanished, and asks why he has been forsaken, and still obeys." This reminds me of how once A. Parnell Bailey, he visited an orange grove where an irrigation pump had broken down. And the season was unusually dry, and some of the trees were beginning to die for lack of water. And yet the man giving the tour decided to take Bailey to his own orchard, where irrigation was used very sparingly. These trees could go without rain for another 2 weeks, he said. You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. And this hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. And now, mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While others are being scorched by the sun, these are finding moisture at a greater depth. This week, as you go through difficulties, trust in God in faith, knowing that He is working all things together for your good, because you love Him and He has called you according to His purpose. Allow your suffering to lead you to cast your roots deeper into Him. And remember that just as He restored Job, He will also be faithful to be your restorer as well. And so let us trust in Him fully today. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.